that lass on Radio 4 who's sort of Charlotte Green. She's got nothing on me.
Do you look into their eyes, Ian, or is that too personal a question? You don't want to go into this.
What would you be shouting at a television screen, Ian Lennox?
I can't proofread that. Anyway.
But there is a slight suggestion that next season might be better. So
Let's hope so.
No one seems to get a penalty for pulling shirts nowadays, or hardly ever.
Or Seven Simple Seasons.
Yes, like it.
Fly Me to the Moon, the audio podcast companion with Rob Nichols.
The big question, of course, is, will this be the last Fly Me to the Moon podcast, or will there be one more playoff paradise?
Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or The Fragrance for Men.
Frankly, I don't know, Rob Nichols. Is it going to be the last one of the season? Is this the one where we gather all the lists together and say, what fantastic results we've had? Darren Randolph is in the Team of the Year.
Yes, he's made
that system from that point of view. All's happy. Alan Stubbs was actually on this very station saying how his son's still up at Borough. He's regularly visiting. He's had a word with Tony.
Right.
Believes all's going to be well with the whole thing. I think he'd forgotten about Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
But we do know, of course, Richard Piers Rayner, the man who single-handedly managed to actually put a smile back on Jack Cochrane's face. He was right with his prediction. You know, beat Hull City quite comfortably in the end.
Well, he was right with that prediction. Yes,
exactly.
That's right.
So well, it's all good. Yes. We have a squad to end the season with.
Yes.
Do we not? Not only. I mean, just as well we didn't get Bernie Slaver in, because where would he sit?
Oof.
Probably on Jenny's knee. Or vice versa. I don't know. It's all right. Bernie would be perfectly amenable to that, I'm sure. We have Jenny Finch, of course.
In my dreams.
We have... Emily, Manchester United supporting. I don't care these days, exactly. It's all right.
Oh, well, you would say that, wouldn't you?
Being
a Manchester City fan.
Well, there you are. I'll be talking about that for a completely different project with Jack Cochrane, who wants to interview me about that precise thing in question. Anyway, Jack Cochrane's back with us as well before he heads off to China to spread more Borough goodness there. And of course, your good self, Rob Nichols, and we'll be talking about St. Helena as opposed to St. Elba, which I'll have to change in the description I actually put up for this. Honestly, it's the wrong Napoleon Island. Okay, Rob.
Yes. in short.
Yes.
Let's not look as far as the playoffs. There's only two games left, I know. Darren Randolph...
Reading and Rotherham.
Indeed, they are. Two teams that are struggling, that need the points for other reasons. Darren Randolph in the Team of the Year, and it was quite underlined by the fact that at Forest we were beaten 3, and we could easily have been beaten 5 or 6 if Randolph hadn't been...
Was it that bad? I mean, the line did seem to be that the Middlesbrough just did not get their act together at all.
Yeah, I think it was quite sort of stalemate going into half-time and then...
The most attacking side Tony Pulis has ever picked, according to Tony Pulis.
Right. Well, we haven't got many options, of course, as far as defenders are concerned.
I was just saying, if this was a video log, the shot of Jack Cochrane's face when I actually said that, it's picturing it, so it's just revealed so much about it.
We've got very few options... at the moment, and well, Forest, is it? Have we won twice there since 1963? If you even go back to Charlton's Champions days, when we always talk about the long unbeaten run, what people forget is that we actually lost in the middle of it 5-1 at the City Ground, Forest. So I've just got like so many bad memories of Forest, and it was a poor performance, and it was, you know, we were in a chance again.
Hats off, Rob. I mean, you know, I didn't expect it, but you gave a good 20 minutes of positivity on BBC Tees. Yeah, there is another station. I heard you phoning them in to the two of them. I thought, that's my co-host and founder of Fly Me to the Moon. And it was. And actually, you provided it. Because normally you expect with, obviously that other station, BBC Tees, you expect them to actually cover a whole range of things, and it's the usual sort of tranche of Borough supporters who, let's be honest, adopt the Jack Cochrane approach. We're doomed. And Tony Pulis should be sacked immediately, and the season's all over.
I just walked past a long-term and long-time Borough fan before I did that phone in, and he just shook his head and said that was embarrassing. So that was the last Borough fan that I saw, and then
you're on air exactly. Jenny. I know you're more of a rugby person, but you have become, you know, you've adopted Middlesbrough, obviously, as your local team, being based on you. Keep calm and don't
blink.
Exactly. reference there to non-Doctor Who fans to the Weeping Angels episode, because clearly if you do blink, you're going to be sent back to a time system and those angels will be dreadful. But do you feel that Middlesbrough have a chance? I mean, the bottom line is it's between Derby, Bristol and Middlesbrough. I mean, on the plus factor, great hilarity for Leeds United. You know, I mean, well, at least for us followers of Leeds United, or non-followers of Leeds United. Exactly.
Yeah.
That losing in the way they did to Wigan, was...
10-man
Wigan. 10-man Wigan, etc., was followed up just where they thought they couldn't get any better by a Monday result, which saw them lose again. So we could see, technically, this is one of the purists, a reprise of Spygate. Frank Lampard's Derby versus, of course, El Loco, or Marcelo Bielsa's Leeds.
Or Middlesbrough versus Leeds.
Exactly. Exactly. So, where would you wish to go? And what are your thoughts or advice for Tony Pulis?
I think crashing and burning in the playoffs would be very bad for morale. I think to almost make it and be defeated by brave little strugglers desperate to stay in.
Again.
Or, you know, just held out by these people fighting for their lives. Mm. Stop, regroup, look at who's coming down, because some couple of stronger teams are coming down, and get ready for next season. Well, I don't think
Huddersfield and Fulham.
Huddersfield, Fulham and Cardiff, from the look of it.
Really?
It looks like it.
Right. Okay. Brighton's still not quite out of it, but it's a Cardiff.
Brighton will be a problem. Cardiff we can handle.
Jack, does that chime with yourself? I mean, swing the microphone around to you. Good, so you got a chance to sort of utter the words as the official Tony Pulis is my idol supporter that you are. Perhaps not. Would it be better to sort of say no? We'll draw a line. We don't want to have to be regrouping for another Flemish in the Moon podcast.
I mean, this season. If we made the playoffs, we'd be embarrassed by any of the teams above us at the moment. Leeds, Villa, West Brom. Mm. I don't think there's a team there that we would even stand.
You wouldn't feel comfortable.
Again. No, I really don't. I mean, I know we beat West Brom twice, but when you look at the players that they can offer compared to what we can put out, especially at the moment with our defensive.
Would you take Darren Moore as a replacement for Tony Pulis?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the job he's done. Even when he stepped up last season, he improved their results before they came down. And they were fourth when they sacked him, which to me doesn't strike as a sensible move. But, I mean, you'd have to wait and see what goes on with him.
Well, we'll do a bit of retrospective reviewing as well. Emily, clearly you're from Northallerton and very close to Middlesbrough, although you do support another side. Any thoughts from yourself? Or is it a case of, frankly, I don't care anymore? after the Derby results, life's just not worth living anymore. Says it all. In this upbeat Flying to the Moon, have we actually had the online poll for Middlesbrough Players of the Year, Rob? Because we normally have done a big feature on that.
Yeah, no, we haven't.
I Darren Randolph, then, will be
the winner. Exactly, to be honest.
That will probably be the key thing from that point of view. But we will be talking about one of Napoleon's places of exiles, etc. Thomas Bardley, I noticed, writes the joys of Burrow's last throw of the dice. The final mention of this final edition of 2018-19, Flying to the Moon must go to Spennymoor Town, who have secured, after narrowly missing out on goal difference last year, a spot in the National League North playoffs.
Yep.
A final league game against Curzon Ashton. That's a made-up name, sure. They will actually sort of battle out for a place in the National League. So that's good news.
And it was Thomas's. It was his teacher up until I think this year, Mr. Ainsley, who was the manager of Spennymoor.
Right.
He's quit his teaching now to be full-time at Spennymoor. But it's incredible where he's taking that club. And
Everything tends to be relative. I open up now something I never thought I'd actually do on a Flying to the Moon, but a copy of the weekly Lincolnshire Echo. And with some of the key things that were put together from, of course, Lincoln, that was actually there, was that it's really difficult. This is Danny Cowley, saying, how fantastic is it going to be that we're on the same level playing field with Ipswich, who, when we played them in the FA Cup in 2017, seemed a million miles away for us, and also Bolton. When we travelled back from Carlisle, we went past Bolton Stadium, which is a magnificent ground.
University of Bolton Stadium, I think it's called now. Yes.
Interesting.
Magnificent ground, but not half of it not even functioning anymore.
That's very true, but I didn't want to raise that with Alan Stubbs earlier.
I was parked in Nottingham, there was a house with an imp's flag flying high, and then Lincoln City on the car. They were promoted, weren't they, that day?
Lincolnshire have now actually, with Lincoln City, they've clinched their first Football League title for 43 years,
wow,
and only the fifth in the club's 135-year history. If you're interested, I mean, it's just a Division 3 North champions 1931-32, Division 3 North in 1947-48, Division 3 North in 1951-1952, and then, of course, under Graham Taylor, Division 4 in 1975-1976.
It shows what's possible, isn't it? You should never be too down, because how many years were Lincoln City down and out of the league?
Listen,
and they had a bit of an inventive approach.
They had Chris Sutton as manager. It doesn't get any worse than that. You know, end of. That's the bottom line.
But they went a different line getting the Cowley brothers in as management team. Even in non-league, they were somewhat outside the box or whatever, and they've been incredibly successful.
They were PE teachers,
that's right.
Exactly. Just as you were saying, the PE teacher that actually used to be in charge of Spennymoor Town as well. So it just shows there's all the magic in there. Still to come, we will be talking about another piece of poetry. We'll be talking about this Napoleonic side of things. We'll get some positivity out of Jack Cochrane if it's the last thing we actually do in terms of this from that point of view. And we might actually, shall we start talking about the future too? I mean, is he going to be with us next season? I mean, I would have thought there might be a riot if he is, but... You know. Who knows?
I doubt it. I think they'll, but you've got the problem, haven't you? When you bring in a manager, and if you remember, his first remit was to reassess the whole club and the setup of the club. So he's given a lot of advice, and I think
ironically, Patrick Bamford didn't make it with Leeds. Sorry.
Well, it's partly his advice that sort of stopped us buying anybody this season. Mm. But then you've got the problem, haven't you? When you bring in a new manager like we brought Gary Monk in, then you trust him and you hand over the cash to him to have a handle on which players you're bringing in.
Mm.
So what do you have continuity with the next manager when you've taken on a load of advice, but you don't want to sort of bring in a new manager and tie his hands up behind his back? So it's always a problem that. How do you have continuity? So some people would say that you promote from within, and hence the Jonathan Woodgate. But even Jonathan Woodgate's going to have his own ideas.
What about Alan Stubbs?
Right.
I just put that.
You're a big promoter of Alan Stubbs this morning.
I am, yeah. Yeah. Well, he was a fine sir. I mean, Emily, you spoke to Alan Stubbs. He deserves to be promoted, does he not?
Yeah, it was very nice.
He's very nice, exactly. So there we are. Ian Smith. Well, what an utterly confusing, baffling and most definitely bizarre season this one has turned out to be. Just think, you could have played Man City twice if you'd actually beaten Burton and...
I know.
And Newport. Ian Smith, of course, also concludes with, it took me a lot, took a lot for me to finally reach this point, and I feel a little let down by Pulis. Do you echo this, Jack? Do you feel a little let down by Pulis? After all the support I and other like-minded fans has given him this season, I know he's not at fault for all of this. The players need to take a long, hard look at themselves too, but he's at the wheel, and from what I can tell, there haven't been many cries of ole emanating from the stands. No, because that's for the Manchester United fans who told you that. That's what they're saying. Roll on full-time at Rotherham when the dreaded post-mortem can start. Jenny, we need your positivity, the sort of positivity that I know you sort of lend to the England side, etc. You already shared some with us in terms of you maintain it would be better if actually we stay tucked in nicely at the top end of the Championship mid-table mediocrity section.
Absolutely. That's not a bad place to be, considering particularly the problem losing three key defenders. And I think they should stop, regroup, look at what we've got, look at the youngsters that have gone out on loan, bring back the best of them and work towards next season.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
100 strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 225 grams of magnesium, 325
grams of magnesium. Hang on, slow down.
And one tablespoon. Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you, any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
and
the recipe?
That's the recipe.
Oh,
if
damn.
You would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondents from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Hi, this is Bernie Slaven and you're listening to Rob Nichols on Flying at the Moon.
Thank you, Bernie.
He made his debut for us this season, Bernie Slaven, of course.
In this very seat that I'm sitting in.
Exactly, and in times past has also been occupied, for the completist, by Tony Mowbray and Colin Cooper. There we are. Legendary buttocks have actually occupied that particular part of the studio. And they say we're never going to change. We're going to attempt now to, in the words of Jimmy Flynn, the cat, provide a wonderful series of Stuart Downing, Burroughs, Marmite Man. I shall kick us off. Who knows where we'll go after this. But then we'll start off with... No footballer polarises opinion like this player can. Supremely talented with perfect balance and poise.
Sections of fans that he inexplicably annoys. The sight of him setting on the ball.
Invariably signals an outcry of derisory catcalls. What is the reason for this myopic abuse?
For such verbose vitriol, there is no excuse. What do they see in their mind's eye?
That prompts them to elicit such a negative outcry. It is his perceived laconic attitude they detest.
Do they believe he does not always give of his best? Does his style silky smooth, effortlessly deceptive?
Sail over the heads of the less perceptive. How can a player who gives his considerable all...
Continually a short-sighted minority appall. Perhaps they should wear the same soccer spectacles as me.
Then a rose-coloured, multi-talented footballer they would see. Flying winger Stuart Downing dedicated professional non-clowning...
Flummoxing fullbacks, leaving them frowning, whether hugging the line, staying out wide.
Or dropping deep and cutting inside, comfortable on both flanks, left or right.
When in full flow, an awesome sight, gliding past opponents like a falcon in flight.
Changing direction like a bat in the night, delivering crosses of varying velocity and height.
Blessed with a first touch like an angel's kiss, qualities his detractors continue to miss.
Stuart Downing, Burroughs Marmite Man. No footballer polarises opinion like this player can.
Yeah, I think that deserves a round of applause.
Yay!
There was a band called the Flying Pickets a few years ago who actually set those things to music. I feel we could replace them, Jenny. We are available.
I think we could.
It's awesome stuff.
I'm on it.
Yeah. Moving on. Perhaps we could get together with that umpar band that you once wanted to bring to
Guggen Band.
Guggen Band.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that would be a nice way of actually sort of maintaining our are we in Europe or out of Europe sort of position on all sorts of ways, basically. Anyway, moving on. Napoleon was exiled in one of these islands, which was not Elba, but would you like to share
Saint
with
Helena.
Us? Saint Helena, exactly.
Somebody from Saint Helena wrote a letter to me and an appeal, really. It's... They're wanting to take part in an inter-islands football tournament in Anglesey this summer. Now, the sort of logistics of this, St Helena's, only 4,500 people live on St Helena. It is 4,000 kilometres east of Rio de Janeiro. It is 2,000 kilometres west of Southwest Africa. Until 2016, it didn't have an airport. It had a ship that used to, that was its link with the world, which is amazing. So just, that's just 2016. They've failed to raise the money in the past to go to some tournaments. They've failed in their appeals to be part of FIFA, because I think they're a British overseas territory.
It says Gibraltar.
Yep, I know. They have managed to send some teams, a cricket team, to one tournament, and they've managed to get involved with other things more recently, but it's a big... They need 80,000 quid, they reckon, and there's only, as I said, there's only 4,500 people
that's
living
an average
there.
Average salary for your average Premiership player on a weekly basis.
But their average wage over there is less than £200 a week. So they're trying to appeal to sort of, I guess, football community. They've written this to lots of fanzines in this country. I fancy actually going over to the games in June, Anglesey.
Well, we need something. We've got no World Cup.
No,
the
exactly.
Champions League, the Nations League doesn't really kick off till next year.
No.
We're unlikely to be celebrating a promotion party all summer, as we've said. Mm. So I think, we need you to correspond for us.
I think so. The other teams playing, apart from Anglesey, are a Norwegian island, Shetland, Orkney, Isle of Man, Isle of Wight, Jersey, Guernsey and Alderney. And actually, Middlesbrough has a link, and this hospital has a link to St Helena, because Cook, on his first voyage, called in there. And then, at the end of his first voyage, he left his journals to be edited by somebody. And that person, I don't know whether you know this story, that actually, this person stitched him up while he was on his second voyage. He pulled in at St Helena to find out that words had been put in his mouth to say that the people in St Helena were all primitive, and that they didn't have any wheels. They had no wheelbarrows. They just pushed things. He was quite mortified by this.
They've got wheels, haven't they? I mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was basically that when they got off the ship.
It was fake news.
Yes, it was. When they got off the ship, there was no way they had to carry all the luggage and stuff by hand. So he basically had to sort of defend himself at St Helena, and he made sure that his next journal, he was the actual editor of it himself. So we've got that link with St Helena.
And that, for budding journalists, Emily and Jack, take note, is why you should never simply ghostwrite or rely on somebody to put your words in. Emily, we sent you the details about this. Is it something that appeals to yourself, this particular St Helena package?
Yeah, it's really interesting, and it would be nice if they could manage to raise some money.
Well, it should be doable. I mean, I think it's target 20,000. You can go on via the GoFundMe package. The St Helena Football Association obviously has an unofficial page or a page on Twitter. And, of course, you've got hashtag Saints to Wales, hashtag The Longest Journey. And presumably GoFundMe has a place as well that people can contribute to.
Yeah, there's a GoFundMe if you look up St Helena football team to...
Tell you what, Rob, we'll even do an interview with the guy.
Oh, good.
We'll do that.
I thought you might do that.
I see the way I just...
Yeah,
the largesse, really, exactly. Mm. Whatever happens against Burnley, for goodness sake, don't lose to Burnley. We'll be fine. You know, all will be well on that sort of perspective as we work on that basis.
This is a Middlesbrough podcast, by the way, not Manchester City.
Sorry. It's just, sometimes you just have to sort of think, just four more wins. And actually, likewise... Four more wins for Middlesbrough, and they'll be at Wembley.
Yeah, yeah.
So five more wins for Borough, four wins. It could be happiness all over. I can see that you're looking sceptical there, Jenny. Never mind. We can dream. That's the important thing.
Absolutely. And we should also say there's something else that's alluded to in this issue of the fanzine, that we had two defeats this week because Steve Gibson sent down his chief executive to call an extraordinary meeting of the championship clubs this week. to find out about the fair play, the financial fair play rules that we are sticking to, that he feels that other clubs maybe...
You're saying Wolves weren't avoided. Sticklers to the whole thing?
We're talking about... Well, QPR actually got fined. Birmingham City got points deduction. He's talking about Aston Villa and Derby and Sheffield Wednesday getting around these things. Obviously, Villa and Derby are in the playoff zone. And it's quite a big issue, really, in that financial fair play in the Championship is very different to people realise. It's a very different structure to the financial fair play in the Premier League. And it's there to stop clubs getting into the sort of financial difficulties that Middlesbrough did in '86. Yeah, but absolutely. And it has been fairly successful. Mm. And at the moment, there's quite a lot of work going on behind the scenes to try and tighten up the governance in Championship clubs, the fit and proper. We've seen a couple of clubs in the EFL. We've seen the Oystons finally kicked out of Blackpool, and now we've got a big problem with Bolton. You mentioned Bolton. They'll be competing against Lincoln. They'll be competing against Lincoln.
Well, Ken Anderson is not the most liked person in Bolton.
Well, no, absolutely. Yeah. So we could even say
Jack's other team, Notts County, not doing that well, really, are they, Jack?
No, not.
So it's all part of the same picture, but I find this very worrying that the other clubs have voted against. They don't want their books to be seen,
scrutinised.
To be scrutinised in that way, which I wonder what they're holding back. And that might be a problem as well if they're trying to get clubs to sign up to a tougher fit and proper, which is something that for most fans. And most people outside of football, it sort of brings football into disrepute when you've got some of the characters being linked to
running
clubs.
Is it the case,
though,
of sometimes just tilting at windmills?
Well,
back in the day, you've always had players. I mean, Charles Aymer, of course, was not necessarily the most sort of financially open of chairman that Borough had, but...
You can say that now, can't you, because he's deceased.
That's why I've done it, exactly. Always be aware of those possible libels, allegedly.
Yeah, no, you might be right, and it looks bad from the outside, but the facts are that Middlesbrough have had a financial straitjacket this season at a time when we did still have parachute payments at the start of the season. We've not been able to replace Bamford, we've not been able to replace Traore, so you could say that...
Or Ben Gibson.
Arguably we had some centre halves here already. But we brought in Aidan Flint, but it's shortchanged the Borough fans, and if other clubs are able to get round it.
An interesting and very fascinating thing, which we will obviously talk to at other times, but this has brought us to the end of issue 596 companion podcast. Maybe not the last Blimey Something Another season, but maybe it is. But very quickly, who will be your player of the year, Rob, at Borough?
Oh, well, definitely Darren Randolph, and young player, I would say, Aidan Flint.
Jack?
Aidan Flint, Dale Fry, sorry.
Yeah, Aidan's getting on a bit. But
yeah.
I agree, Rob. Player of the year, Darren Randolph, but I'd go young player of the year with Lewis Wing.
Oh, yeah, it's been outstanding, isn't it? Okay.
Jenny?
Darren Randolph.
Mm-hmm. And Emily?
Lee Darren Randolph.
Yeah. Oh, there we are. How can people get hold of all the back issues this season to actually share the pain, Rob, if they so wish to choose?
Yes, indeed.
Or indeed, become an early subscriber for season 1920.
Yes, indeed. Go to fmttm.com, click on subscribe, or probably best to email me at robshrug@gmail.com.
So okay. What are the final words that we need to wrap up this particular sequence with? As indeed, obviously, I have the Charles Aymer lawyers actually online.
You have already.
Through the
exciting, you're in trouble.
Yes, sometimes you think, where are people going, really? Go away, thank you. Right, those final words said with gusto, with wit and wisdom, vitality, vimmer, vigour, all of those sort of things. A 1, 2, 3.
Come on, Borough.
Another Borough.
Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.